Reading from Matthew 14. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Good morning. Great to see everybody on a sunny January Sunday morning. Beautiful weekend the last couple of days and going to be nice. I'm glad to see the sun and the smiles on everyone's faces this morning. So it's great to have you with us. We're going to talk today about walking on the water. We're going to talk about walking on the water. I've heard it said more than once. Someone of themselves, or maybe said about someone who might have seemed a little stuck on themselves or proud on themselves. Can you walk on water? Making reference to Jesus being able to walk on the water. But I want to ask the question today, why are we not walking on the water? Why are we not walking on the water? I've got your attention. It's interesting to note, and I always like to look, we've got the feeding of the 5,000. We have 2 feedings in the New Testament that are recorded for us. The feeding of the 4,000, which was over in the Decapolis, on the Sea of Galilee, but in an area that would have been on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And then we have the feeding of the 5,000, which would have been in the Jewish territory of the Sea of Galilee, probably to the more northern part of the sea. We've got Jesus feeding the crowd that comes to him, and we can see that there's not a great deal of food, and Jesus is able to take it and break it and to feed everyone who's there, and that there are 12 baskets that were taken up from what was left over after 5,000 people plus had eaten all that they wanted, that Jesus was able to take and to multiply. And then Jesus sends the disciples away and disperses the crowd. And in the Matthew account, we don't really understand that, but I believe it's Mark who will give us some more insight into that. It was because the crowd wanted to make him king by force. They see Jesus and his teaching and his ability to feed the crowd and to do miraculous things, and they're ready to take Jesus and make him king and begin a revolution. And that's not what Jesus came for, and it certainly wasn't his time to go to the cross. So Jesus sends the apostles away, and we don't know why, but maybe there's a thought that the apostles would have were kind of caught up in that movement and that mood as well. So he said, y'all get in the boat and get on the way, and Jesus gets the crowd and disperses them back out. And so the apostles now are on the Sea of Galilee. Many of them were experienced fishermen on the sea. But we're going to find out that, as so often occurs, the sea is rough to the point that they're having to row hard and they're not making progress against the winds of the sea. They're out trying to get across the sea and they're rowing very hard in their boat and they're not making any progress as they go to move. Jesus has gone up onto the hill and had spent time in prayer, and now it's the fourth watch of the night, so it's somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. And Jesus looks down and sees the disciples struggling and he decides to go to them. Let's read Matthew's account. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." It's interesting, the account of the feeding and Jesus on the lake is covered in three of the Gospels, and only Matthew tells us of Peter getting out of the boat. The other writers don't mention that as they talk about Jesus coming out to them on the water. Only Matthew records to us about Peter. So they're in the water and it's rough. I don't know what visions you get. All of us have in our pictures they come to our mind when certain events or things are mentioned. At the holiday season, if we mention Santa Claus, then you get a picture in your mind. And I was somewhere the other day, and there was the Coca-Cola Santa. And that's my favorite Santa of all, the Coca-Cola advertisements. Even when I mention God, we all get kind of a different picture, a different image of what we think of God. When I talk about walking on the water, we kind of get different. But the image I get is almost like walking on the reflecting pool at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., where the water is relatively flat and still, and where if I were to step off, I would get wet. Jesus was able just to walk and walk across the water. But when we read this account, the sea is so rough that these experienced fishermen are having great difficulty even moving the boat across the lake. And Jesus comes out to them on the lake when it is that when there's that much wind and the lake is that rough. It's even hard for me to picture how you walk on water. But then how do you do it when it's not smooth? I find myself stumbling on land, especially if it's not smooth. But I want you to get this picture, that Jesus comes out not on a calm day, but walking on the lake when it is very tumultuous. And Jesus is walking out to the boat where the disciples are. And their reaction when they see him is, it's a ghost. But it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. It is pre-resurrection Jesus. That's important. It's pre-resurrection Jesus. Now, why would I say that? Because Jesus, after his resurrection, has a resurrected body, a body that's different. But this is the body to which he came as a man, was born of Mary in Bethlehem. It's not a special body, it's a human body. And he's walking on the sea. Now what do we think about Peter? Peter's the guy that cuts off Malchus's ear, remember? Peter's the guy that says, I'll be with you even if it means death, and then he denies Jesus. It's Peter who walks on the water and begins to sink. And probably in most of those instances, we think about the weakness of Peter and how he was awfully quick to respond and react. And maybe you think he should have been more cautious and thoughtful. But I would make the argument with you this morning. It's when he becomes thoughtful that he fails. Not that we shouldn't think, but Peter's initial reactions of Jesus, I'm going to follow you, even if it means death, is the right response, isn't it? And when Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me get out of the boat and walk on the water, what does Peter do? And does what? Walks on water. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the sea. Oh, human Peter walks on the water. He was able to walk on water. Now, where does Peter run into difficulty? When he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the wind and the waves, and all of a sudden, what does he begin to think? We're not told exactly, but my guess is, I can't do this. I can't do this. And he begins to sink. And he cries out, and Jesus reaches out and grabs him, touches him, and they both get back into the boat. And then the boat is able to make it quickly. The other gospel writer will tell us, quickly they get to the shore on the other side of the sea. But I want to talk about Peter and Jesus walking on the water. And again, I want to remember the question I asked you again is, why don't we walk on the water? Now, we're not going to meet next week at Percy Priest and do a walking, nor are we going to just step out on the steps of the baptistry to kind of start out and walk. But with Jesus' help, you and I, in a figurative way, should be able to walk on water. If we'll trust in Jesus, we can overcome the storms and the obstacles of life. Instead of drowning, we ought to be walking with Jesus. Instead of seeing the storms, we ought to see the opportunities that God provides for us. So often, we think about that God and His power, if I can just survive today, it'll all be better when Jesus returns. And it will be better. And that's the hope that we all have. But Peter was able to walk on the water where he was. Jesus was able to walk on the water where he was and was able to calm the storms. And I'm afraid too often, as God's people, we become afraid and don't step out where God would have us to go because we see the wind and the waves and forget the power of God. We see the reasons why not and not the greater reason why. Peter was able to walk on the water when he trusted Jesus. But when he saw the storm, he became afraid. Jesus had fed the crowd. They knew the great things that Jesus could do. Jesus had the power to calm the storms. When they were afraid in the boat, Jesus was able to calm the storm. But what we see in this occasion is that Jesus was able to walk and persevere through the storms, through the trouble. It wasn't Jesus had to get everything right. It wasn't that Jesus said, see, calm, and then he was able to walk where it was smooth. Jesus was walking where it was tumultuous. And Peter was able to do the same thing. As people of God, as Christians, as we're about God's business, do we see the obstacles as to why we can't do great things? or ordinary things? Or do we see that if this is what God wants me to do, if this is what God wants us to do, we can do it as we live our lives and face the storms and struggles that come to absolutely every one of us? They come to every one of us. They may be different, but all of us have storms and struggles. They may be with our health, with our families, with our finances, but all of us have those things to which we struggle. And I don't want to make light of that. It is what it is, but do we trust in God to get us through those? Do we say, we can walk through this? Not to be overwhelmed and drowned by it, but we can walk on the water, even though it's not smooth. If we'll keep our eyes on Jesus and believe and know that He empowers us to meet the struggles and troubles of life, and to meet Satan's temptations and the obstacles that Satan will put in the way of God's people to keep us from being about God's business, that we can overcome those. That we can, in fact, walk on water. Not because of our own power and greatness, but because God empowers us to do that. Peter couldn't walk on the water not because he was human. Peter couldn't walk on the water not because he was fallible. Peter couldn't walk on the water. Why? Because he didn't have the faith to walk on the water. Isn't that what Jesus says to him? Oh, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be cast into the sea, and it will do it. And for most of us, I think we underestimate what God can do through us if we'll just walk in faith. If we'll trust in God. Not in our own power, not in our own ability, but trust in God and His ability to bring about His will and His work and His desires through us and in us. Through us and in us. Not seeing the obstacles, but seeing the opportunities. This lesson, my intent of this is not, let's be just people of positive thinking, that positive thinking overcomes all obstacles. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think being positive is much better than being negative. Not only is it more pleasant, it just leads to greater things. I absolutely believe that. But I'm not talking about if God's people will be positive thinkers, we'll all be better. I'm telling you that if we will trust in God and His Son and God's ability to work in us and through us, that we can overcome the struggles and accomplish great things in the service of God. That we can walk on the water if we just trust in God. That we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for God to work in our lives in the hereafter. That God works in our lives today. And that we need to make ourselves available and trust in Him. It is God, as we've been studying in the Old Testament, and I'll kind of put an ad out. If you hadn't been taking part in our daily Bible reading, I'd encourage you to do that. If you need one of our daily Bible reading Bibles, see Nathan. And this is Nathan. I want to make sure everybody knows Nathan will make sure you get one. Because we'd love for you to take part of that reading the Scripture every day. And I hope that you're enjoying that as much as I am. And if you can, join us on Wednesday nights, because that is our Bible study on Wednesday night. But what we're seeing as we look through, we're in the book of Genesis now, as we've just begun, obviously on January 1, reading through the Bible. And we're going through in chronological order is the Bible that we're using. But we see God who moves people to the place He wants them to be. God who changes people physically. People who are unable to have children are able to have children. Where God brings about His will when it seems to be impossible. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God whom we still serve. And the God who worked in powerful ways in the lives of the patriarchs, worked in powerful ways in the lives of the apostles, still works in powerful ways in the lives of His people. If we allow Him and we trust in Him. You and I can walk on the water. Not just still waters, but even in the stormy waters, if we keep our eyes on Jesus and trust in Him. So I'd encourage us all today, as we face opportunities and struggles, that we think, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, on the Almighty, all-powerful God and His Son, who will allow me and assist me to walk through the struggles and not be overcome or overwhelmed or drowned, but to walk through and reach the other side. Jesus came as a man, showed us how to live, now has gone back to the right hand of the Father who intercedes for us so that as we pray through the Spirit and through the name of Jesus, Jesus makes intercession knowing how it feels, how it is to live as human beings, that Jesus gave His life as a sacrifice. And so the Jesus who helped Peter is the same Jesus who hears our prayers and intercedes for us. It's the same Jesus who gave His life for each one of us. If you need to come today, why don't you do that while together we stand and sing.